Chapter 55. Midnight. The hypermarket was practically deserted. The cashier regarded Michael warily as he unloaded the first jerry cans onto the belt.
"Having car trouble, sir?" said the cashier.
"No. Why?"
"Oh, no reason. Few folk been complaining of car troubles lately is all."
The cashier tapped his assistant's bell, illuminating a lantern above his till.
"What's that for?"
asked Michael.
"I just need my supervisor to authorize the transaction. We have a limit on certain items."
The cashier hesitated, not scanning the second can. His smile faltered as his eyes darted around. Snatching the jerry cans from the belt, Michael threw them into the cart and ran for the exit.
"Hey, wait! Somebody stop him! He hasn't paid!" cried the cashier.
None of the shelf stackers dared stop Michael and his metal battering ram. His expertise at one-handed trolley steering was finally coming in useful as he picked up formidable speed. He hurried to his car and threw the cans in the trunk, speeding away as the security guard puffed onto the lot with a telltale napkin under his chin. Michael drove to three more supermarkets, repeating his purchase, but this time staving off suspicion by buying a smaller number of cans and preemptively using the explanation of a friend's car having broken down nearby. Still, even with the multi-store strategy, it wasn't going to be enough. At the final store, a brainwave struck. Michael bought a thin-tipped vacuum cleaner nozzle, some duct tape, and a couple of large trash cans, then drove to a gas station. He was careful to choose a pay-at-pump station. Unobserved, he filled the new trash cans with fuel. Using the duct tape, he sealed the lids on top. Then, with great difficulty and much cursing, he loaded them into the rear passenger seats. He wasn't sure which came off worse from his one-handed lifting technique, the car's paintwork or his hip, but it was a grim struggle to get them in. Following a careful drive home, Michael set to work. He dragged the cargo onto his front lawn beside the mailbox. He taped the thin-ended vacuum nozzle to the first jerry can and poured the contents through the letter slit. The dark liquid sloshed down the insides of the enamel piping, disappearing into the mail network below ground. The quirky design of the mailboxes meant that a narrow nozzle was the only way to get anything in, and it severely limited his speed. It took a couple of minutes to empty each jerry can, which was tiring work for Michael's arm. Fleeting respite came only when he transferred the nozzle to each new canister. Michael glanced around the empty neighborhood at regular intervals, keeping his eyes peeled for dog walkers or street cleaners, anyone who might discover his preparations. With the last jerry can empty, he turned to the much larger, brimming trash cans. He dunked the empty can beneath the oily surface until it was full, then poured it into the mailbox. The decanting took almost 2 hours and required several breaks for immense arm cramp. With the last of the fuel finally transferred, Michael hid the empty equipment in his basement. As dawn broke, he hurried upstairs to rouse the kids. They were groggy and confused, but heeded his urgency.
"No time to explain. It's nearly 6 and we have to act quickly. Grab a coat, put on your shoes, and get outside."
"Dad, what the hell's going on?"
said Olive, concerned.
"You, Taylor, and the boys go stand on the sidewalk," cried Michael.
He rushed down to the basement, but Olive was close behind.
"I told you to stay outside."
"Not unless you tell me what's going on."
Michael grabbed Kelsey's journal from the desk and thrust it before her.
"Take it. I don't deserve it anymore."
Olive stared at him, bewildered. She flicked through the pages while Michael rummaged around among his tools, winding a rag around a stick and dipping it in oil.
"This is Mom's handwriting. What is it, her logbook?"
frowned Olive. Police siren sounded outside.
"They're here. We don't have much time," said Michael breathlessly.
He rushed upstairs, but Olive grabbed his hand as he reached the front door. Michael stared at his daughter, seeing the distress in her eyes. He snatched a deep breath and braced her for what was to come.
"Your mom spent the last year of her life trying to cure Taylor, to reverse the side effects of the experiment. Her last wish was for me to continue the work, but I was only able to salvage her journal. I couldn't get the chemicals we need for it to work. I failed her, Olive, just like I failed you all in so many other ways. This is my last hope. It's the only way I can truly protect you. He broke free from her grip and hurried across the yard. Flashing blue lights were fast approaching. Kneeling down, Michael lit the tip of his oil-soaked rag stick.
"Dad, you're scaring me," said Olive.
"It'll be okay, sweetie. You'll all be safe now, I promise. I need you to go stand with the others," said Michael.
Four police cars and two fire engines screeched up before the house. Officers trained their guns on Michael while fire crews banged on the neighbors' doors, urgently evacuating them. Olive backed away from her father in horror, clutching the journal to her chest, then fled to the others. The police swiftly erected a perimeter, forcing the other residents several hundred yards away. Frightened neighbors emerged in nightshirts and dressing gowns, seeing the blue lights and Michael's burning stick. Next door, automatons had dismantled the neighbor's mailbox. They were feeding in a hose pipe to siphon out the dumped fuel. A shock of red hair pushed its way to the front of the crowd, raising a megaphone.
"Mr. Hadley, this is Detective Clerkenwell. Step away from the mailbox."
Tears clung to Michael's eyes. There was only a small window of time to do the deed. Only a handful of citizens knew how vulnerable the mail system was in the minutes before delivery, including his former boss. Fine vapors flooded the tunnels as the tubes became pressurized. It was something his previous firm had been tasked with fixing, but the redesign was years away from delivery. From his eavesdropping, he knew that a medium-sized explosion, precisely timed, would be enough to overload the existing safety valves. By igniting the gasoline, he could trigger a chain reaction across the entire city's grid, destroying the network for good. Something Clerkenwell was all too aware of.
"Permission to shoot, ma'am," called an officer.
"You want to get us all blown up? Hold your fire,"
hissed Clerkenwell. The detective raised the megaphone once again.
"It doesn't have to be this way, Mr. Hadley. Let's talk."
"I think it's a bit late for that," laughed Michael bitterly.
As the last of his neighbors were bundled away, he turned his attention to the crowd.
"The ministry has robbed us for too long," he cried. "They've taken our loved ones and controlled our lives. No more. Today that ends once and for all. I will set you free."
"Michael, don't do this,"
warned the detective. Michael's face was set hard with grim determination. The other residents would be safe enough. He was to be the epicenter of the explosion. The blast would burn every inch of flesh on his body. It would mean a lifetime of agony. But it would liberate every other soul in the city. Tears rolled down his cheeks as he pictured Kelsey.
"I'm sorry, my love," he whispered.
Clutching the burning stick, he approached the mailbox. As he walked, a cry sounded from across the street.
"Mika, cuddle!"
Taylor had broken free from Olive's hand and was running towards him with wide arms.
"No, Taylor, stay back!" cried Michael.
But Taylor had no way of understanding the danger. She burst into the garden, wrapping her hands around him with glee. Michael staggered backwards, clutching the burning stick above his head.
"Get back,"
he begged, shaking himself free.
"Taylor, give cuddle. Make Mika better,"
she cooed.
"Taylor, you have to get away. You'll be burned. This is dangerous. You'll..."
He faltered. There was no way she could comprehend the pain she would endure. He had to get her away from the explosion. Security automatons were closing in on both sides and would soon be within striking distance. A voice came over the megaphone.
"Taylor, this is Detective Clerkenwell speaking. Mika's put a treat for you in the mailbox," she said coldly.
Michael's heart froze in total disbelief. Clutching the burning stick, he had no free hand to restrain her with, and his words were lost amidst Taylor's cheers. She tore herself away, bounding to the mailbox with delight.
"Taylor! No!"
he screamed. Flames licked Michael's hand as the stick's fuel dwindled.
"Go to Olive," he begged.
But Clerkenwell drowned him out, coaxing Taylor on with promises of a gift. The infantile woman probed the mailbox, giggling. Automatons had scaled the fences on either side and were just yards away. Michael had seconds to act. He had to light the mailbox now. Unless he launched himself forwards, the ministry would win. Their legacy of lies would continue unchallenged for generations more, trapping millions in a system of secrecy, servitude, and pain. He couldn't let them get away with it. His sacrifice was the only way to set them all free. The fire would cleanse him of his past failures as he redeemed the lives to come. Fear coursed through his veins as he braced for the agony.
"Mika!"
gurgled Taylor playfully. Kelsey's face flashed across his mind as he gripped the flaming stick. "I'm sorry, my love," he whispered. "I'm so sorry."